I'm Michael White with White Farms in Vernon, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas Ag on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
With a major land gift, West Texas A&M University is getting a boost in its effort to build new feedlot research facilities. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Texas farmers and ranchers are heading to Washington, D.C. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll explain why coming up on Texas Ag Today.
We will go to Ballinger in West Central Texas to get a progress report on the winter wheat crop there, along with the cattle this spring. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and that'll be just ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Over the past week, we've been covering the story of USDA cutting out the July cattle inventory report and the problems that will cause the cattle industry. But there are other reports that the National Ag Statistics Service is cutting.
The first one is they have said they're no longer going to report state-level beef cow numbers in several of our southeastern states, Louisiana, Mississippi, the Carolinas.
That's Texas A&M livestock economist David Anderson.
We know that the South is a big supplier of feeder cattle to our Texas feedlots. And kind of having a better notion of what those potential supplies of feeder cattle are, I think helps give us a better understanding of the market, not only for us market analysts, but more importantly for cattle producers that are looking at selling cattle and looking at what that demand and supplies are for cattle.
And they'll no longer give county level estimates.
Those county level estimates come out mid-year. They give us an idea of the number of cattle in individual counties in Texas. And where that's important, where I use those a lot, is when we have one of these natural disasters like the wildfires in the Panhandle, Hurricane Harvey, that gives us something to give us a first cut on the number of cattle that are at risk. What's the value of the damages that these natural events happen? And we use those to develop those impacts. And then those are often used by our legislators to work on, can we get some funding to help ranchers in need?
Anderson says those county estimates have been very useful for a very long time. Registration is now underway for the virtual South Texas Agriculture Symposium.
The event, hosted by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, will be held online from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. April 30th. Speakers will discuss common plant diseases and their management, tree management decisions after tricky weather conditions, common wildlife diseases and parasites, the basics of wildlife tax valuation, essentials to rangeland management plans, and more. Although the event is being held virtually, people can watch the live-streamed event at the Extension office in San Antonio. Cost is $25. RSVP by April 22nd to Kennedy at the Extension office in San Antonio. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Industrial hemp processing is underway in Wichita Falls. The Panda Biotech Hemp Gin is up and running after numerous delays. Panda has contracted more than 10,000 acres of industrial hemp with producers in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. The company's pay-to-grow program provides seed and upfront money for farmers to grow the crop. West Texas A&M University is getting a boost in its effort to build new feedlot research facilities. James Hunt tells us that's the result of a major land gift.
For several years now, West Texas A&M University in Canyon has been working toward a goal of expanding its research feedlot. But now the university will instead build a completely new one, thanks to a major gift from Mike and Gary Kuhlman. The Kuhlman brothers are giving WT 43 acres of land valued at $425,000 to build the new feedlot. The land is just west of the university-owned Nance Ranch, making for a great fit, according to Dr. John Richeson.
It's in an ideal location. The slope and the layout of the land is perfect and helps to minimize the amount of dirt work that needs to be done. There's just all sorts of intrinsic values to that land donation that the Kuhlmans made that obviously far exceeds the value of the land.
Dr. Richeson, who is a professor of beef cattle feedlot management, says the hopes are construction will begin this summer on the new facilities, which will include an educational center and pen space to hold 3,700 cattle. In the meantime, a lot of significant research work to help the cattle feeding industry continues at WT, including one ongoing effort Dr. Richeson made special note of.
One of the big challenges is with the beef on dairy cattle that we're seeing so much more of being fed in our feed yards here in Texas, and just figuring out how to feed those genetics as efficiently as possible. But then also the liver abscesses that we see in that type of animal is a huge challenge. So we've done a lot of research addressing and helping us to better understand liver abscesses that occur in cattle on feed.
I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Texas farmers and ranchers are heading to Washington, D.C. Jessica Domel is joining the trip.
This week, nearly 200 farmers and ranchers from across Texas will travel to our nation's capital to advocate for agriculture. It's part of Texas Farm Bureau's annual National Affairs Awards trip. While in Washington, D.C., the group will advocate for a new five-year farm bill and will discuss agricultural labor, trade, taxes, and other key issues with lawmakers. Laramie Adams, TFB Associate Director of Government Affairs, said it is important that members of the agricultural community communicate with their lawmakers.
I'm in D.C. once a month talking about all these issues, not just on Farm Bill, but a lot of our other priorities. I always tell folks where we are really strong as an organization at Texas Farm Bureau is our county leaders and the members. If you take constituents up who are actually working on the farm and our own farms and ranches, and they hear it firsthand from them, that's where we make the difference. Well, I'm there to keep the relationships with staff and members and work through the technicalities and behind the scenes and all that. That's what we do as staff at Texas Farm Bureau. But where we really make the difference and get the ear of our congressional leaders are our really strong county leaders.
Congressman Nathaniel Moran of Texas recently told us it is important that lawmakers hear from their constituents on the issues that matter to them.
The relationships that I'm developing with our farming and ranching community here in Northeast Texas are going to be vital when these bills come up for a vote, for me to understand how the bill itself or the amendments to the bill impact the farming and ranching community, and for them to be able to pick up the phone and to call me or to text me in the middle of those deliberations and to tell me whether or not a certain bill or an amendment is good or bad, because they're going to know how it impacts.
For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
This has been a good spring for wheat and cattle. Tom Nicoletti goes to the Concho Valley for an update.
For today's program, we go to cattle rancher and farmer Paul Minzenmeyer in Ballinger in Runnels County. And Paul, you have a crop of winter wheat growing out there in your region. How is that winter wheat progressing this spring?
It's really progressing fast now. We started off good in the fall with some light showers. No big rains ever came, but half inch at a time, we were looking good. And then we really started to progress along great. And then about in the last month or so, we started burning up as we kept missing rains when we really needed it. Wheat started heading out. Now we just keep missing the rains that we need.
About how long before you harvest that wheat?
Oh, probably about a month or so.
Now, you also run cattle. How are the cattle doing this spring?
Cattle are doing real well, and the wheat's been a lifesaver for being able to have grazing. Our pastures didn't look very well coming out of last year, so the wheat grazing has been a lifesaver, and we'll graze out quite a bit of wheat just with cattle on them and let our pastures rest.
What about those pastures? Are they at a point of greening up?
They are, and boy, if we could catch one of these rains that they keep giving us a chance for, they just would actually hit with a couple inches. It'd be perfect.
What about your stock ponds? How are they as far as levels?
We haven't had any rains to replenish them, so they're low. Our rivers and lakes are all low, too. We need some real rain. I hate to be a Debbie Downer right now, but we sure need some 3 or 4 inch rains to run some water into the ponds and the rivers.
That is rancher and farmer Paul Minzenmeyer from Ballinger. I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
With spring upon us, many begin thinking about establishing a new pasture or hay meadow. We will discuss how to determine if you need to reestablish pastures or hay meadows, as well as when to start planting. I'm Dr. Vanessa Olson from Overton.
And pre-weaning scours is a common concern in the beef and dairy industries. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories, plus a look at the markets, are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include, but are not limited to, livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to TexasFarmBureau.org.
Broadcasting from a padded room in the basement of the Texas Farm Bureau World Headquarters, here's Carrie Martin with more Texas Ag Today.
With spring now here, it's time to think about establishing a new pasture or hay meadow. Forage specialist Dr. Vanessa Olson has some things to consider before you start.
To determine if you need to reestablish your pastures or hay meadows, evaluate your forage needs. Consider how the forage will be used, whether for grazing or hay. Determine what species and variety are best adapted to your area based on season of production, soil type, and rainfall. Evaluate your resources, including equipment, money, and time. Take a visual appraisal of existing fields. Keep in mind that bald spots may fill in with time, fertilization, and weed control. Or bald spots may be filled in with additional sprigs or seed. Determine if you have seen a reduction in quantity of forage produced. If forage production has been reduced considerably, reestablishment may be desirable. Reestablishment should be considered when less than 40% of the desirable species exist. Determine if other forage species and/or broadleaf weeds have invaded the field. They may be easily controlled with herbicide, or you may need to start from scratch. If you decide to reestablish this season, collect soil samples for analysis and correct any soil deficiencies. Select species and varieties that are adapted to your area. Visit with county extension agents or forage specialists to determine options based on your location. Destroy existing perennial grass vegetation with a herbicide application prior to planting. Optimum temperatures for Bermuda grass seed germination are when daily low temperatures reach 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Planting after mid-June is discouraged because of normally hot and dry weather conditions. Implement the correct planting method and rate. Continue to control weeds during establishment year. Check with your local county extension agent for herbicide recommendations. Keep in mind, a newly established field may not be very productive the year of establishment. Therefore, be prepared to have other forage options for livestock during that season. This is Dr. Vanessa Olson with Texas A&M, AgriLife Extension in Overton.
For Texas Ag Today.
Pre-weaning scours is a common concern in the beef and dairy industry. Dr. Bob Judd says the cause can be difficult to determine.
The Texas A&M Veterinary Medical Diagnostic Lab indicates there are multiple factors involved with scours of pre-weaned beef and dairy calves, and some are infectious and some are not. Dr. Alexis Thompson with the lab indicates that most producers think of infectious agents as rota and coronavirus, E. coli, salmonella, and cryptosporidium can all cause scours in calves. However, these organisms can also be found in the feces of normal calves. Anything that causes immunodeficiency in the calf can lead to disease, and this is typical in calves that did not receive adequate colostrum. Environmental conditions also lead to scours, as high stocking densities and poor environmental conditions can increase the chance of scours. Even milk with high osmolality can damage the lining of the intestinal tract and lead to symptoms, as can inconsistent milk feeding and milk temperatures. Most of the time, infectious organisms or environmental factors are not enough by themselves to cause symptoms, but the combination is usually enough to cause a problem. The lab performs PCR tests on calves with scours and has found that 80% of the samples were positive for at least one infectious organism. Out of over 1,000 samples from 108 different Texas counties, bovine coronavirus was found in 27%, bovine rotavirus was found in 67%, and cryptosporidium was found in 43% of the samples. The percentages are over 100 because over 50% of the samples had more than one pathogen. One takeaway from the study is that most producers want to use antibiotics in calves with scours, and antibiotics will have no effect on these viruses and cryptosporidium. And using antibiotics could actually cause more problems.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Unreimbursed additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications for assistance must be submitted by May 31st to a local county farm bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Wednesday. Cattle futures ended mostly lower. Both live and feeder cattle in the red throughout most of the day. April live cattle down 60 cents, closing at 180.90. June down 40, 175.32. The August down 15, 172.77. Feeder cattle lower on all except the nearby April. Of course, that's the lightly traded contract. It was up 7 cents at 240.42. May was down 70, 240.27. August down 22 cents at 252.12. Cash fed cattle sales still at a standstill for the week. Feedlots here in the Southern Plains asking 184 to 186 this week, but still no sales to report. Boxed beef prices lower, choice down 23 cents, 297.79. Select down 74 at 291.90. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
My friend Seth Crane and his dad Butter own and operate Union Commission Hondo Livestock. They sell every Monday there in Hondo. Seth, how was this week's sale?
430 head. Probably ended up with 100 cows. Packer cows and bulls, pretty well steady. Dollar bill to $1.41 on a top cow. Lots of good fleshy cows there today. Bulls, $1.32 to $1.52. Had those pairs, those little young pairs there today. Those cows, those little thin cows, they bring $24.75. In our pairs kind of range from $1,700 to $2,675. Bred cows, $1,025 on the low end, up to $2,425 on the top end. Most of those good bred cows bringing $2,000 up to that $2,400. Also had about 20 head of those four-year-old little thin cows, be wetback cows, and they bring kind of $1,400 to $1,475. Calf in the early market, pretty well steady. Might have been a tick better than some of those classes last week. Sure, still a good market. Cattle are dollaring out well. Your 2 to 3 weight steers, $275 to $356. 2 to 3 weight heifer, $250 to $302. 3 to 4 weight steer, $265 to $348. 3 to 4 weight heifer, $240 to $318. 4 to 5 weight steer, $250 to $326. 4 to 5 weight heifer, $230 to $290. 5 to 6 weight steer, $235 to $296. 5 to 6 weight heifer, $218 to $274. 6 to 7 weight steers and bulls, $210 to $256. 6 to 7 weight heifer, $192 to $221. 7 to 8 weight steers and bull yearlings, kind of $190 to $237. 7 to 8 weight heifer, for $1.60 to $1.88. Good sale. Looking forward to next week. If we can help you out in any way, feel free to contact us 830-741-8061. Give me on my cell phone 210-288-3960. For updates and information, visit us on Facebook or HondoLifestyle.com.
Thank you, Seth.
Yes, sir.
Neighbor, it looks to me like that's it for this edition of Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. We're right here every Monday through Friday. I'm Larry Marble. Neighbor, good day to you.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now. Lean hogs finish mixed. May hogs up 20 cents, 94.92. June down 10 at 102.72. Class 3 milk was mixed also. Nearby April milk up 7 at 15.54 a hundredweight, while the May contract was down 13, 17.18 a hundred. Cotton continues to fall apart. We've seen these old crop contracts take a massive drop over the last few weeks. In fact, there's very little gap now between old crop and new crop cotton. Speculator and producer selling continues to put pressure on this market, as well as falling outside markets. We closed it out with May cotton down 173 points, 79.56. July down 176 at 81.33. New crop December cotton down 60 points, 78.54. Corn is still stuck in a sideways trading pattern. We did finish slightly lower. Traders continuing to watch that Brazilian safrinha crop to see how it's going to turn out. We've seen some wet weather in Brazil lately. However, things are beginning to turn dry as South America moves into the dry season. May corn down 3/4, 4.30 at a quarter. July down 1 3/4 at 4.41. September corn down 2, 4.49 and 3/4. Double-digit losses in both hard and soft wheat. Russia continues to dominate the world market, undercutting everyone else with cheaper prices. And that just will not allow wheat prices to move higher. So we were lower with May Kansas City wheat down 14 3/4, 5.72 3/4. New crop July down 14 at 5.69 a bushel. July Chicago wheat down 12.5, 5.52 1/4. In the energy markets, May natural gas down 2 cents at $1.70. May West Texas crude down 2.61 at $82.75 a barrel. The financial markets were lower. The Dow down 6 points, 37,792. The Nasdaq down 155 at 15,710. The S&P down 22 points at 5,029. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A. Texas Agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.